mistake when I got here back in 2000. We went way high with, you know, non-believers and baptizing them and going crazy and stuff, and we didn't do enough with leadership. We overwhelmed ourselves as leaders with new believers, and everything fell apart. At the foundation, the organizational structure of the church in 1 Timothy 3, Paul tells us it's about leadership. And so the long-winded blowhard last week told you for an hour and a half what eldership was all about. And today we're going to talk about something that you may not be familiar with, or you may be familiar with this phrase from another church that you perhaps grew up in, attended, whatever, and it's the word deacons. But it begins, the foundation begins with leadership. And Paul warned us, as we ended last week, being careful to establish elders too quickly. And I love the quote that I saw somewhere, I don't know where it was, that pastors and diapers are the same. Both need to be changed often for the same reasons. Because pastors love to get up here and be full of themselves, or full of their title, or full of whatever, and they forget it's not their church. And it's very easy as elders to begin to think, this is all about me. I got power, I got authority, I got whatever it may be. And Paul goes, slow down. So last week I told you that I gave you a checklist of how to fire me as if you need a biblical reason, right? What elders are, and now we're talking about deacons. And what in the world is a deacon? Because I guarantee if you ask different churches or some of us who have come from different church backgrounds, we would all have a different explanation. Even churches that are similar to ours. When we broke from decades of having a church board, being church board driven here in the early 2000s, and we established elders, spiritual leaders for the first time, even churches similar to ours, when I would tell them the story, the very first question they asked me is, are you going to have an elder deacon board? And I said, did you not hear me tell the story that we just got away from church board? And we've got spiritual leaders established. But for a lot of people, it's all about office. It's all about, you know, sitting in a room for hours and debating on what tractor to buy, that kind of stuff. And those can be very important things. But we do not have an elder deacon board. In fact, we don't have deacons by title. What we do have, however, are ministry team leaders. And without them, things don't get done around here. Now, I saw a t-shirt once that I wish I would have bought. In fact, I should look to see if I can find it, because it simply said this: Jesus did not die for your church committees. And for any of us that have been in a church where it is endless debate and endless congregational meetings where Jesus dies at them all the time, right? Just like in the book of Acts, or not the book of Acts, in the Gospels, when Pilate said, who do you want, Barabbas or Jesus? And the congregation voted to kill Jesus. That happened so many times. And we think it's important to have committees. I personally have sat through enough committee meetings, no thank you. But I have sat with people in this church that lead ministry teams that it's exciting. It's a discussion of ministry and where people's talents lies. Without deacons, you wouldn't have bulletins, because I ain't doing them. Our bills would not get paid. They might get paid, but it wouldn't be a ministry. Songs would get sung, but I'm telling you right now, I have been in churches where it has nothing to do with inviting you into an area where you can worship God freely. I have literally stood beside people as they said, flipping through a hymnal, let's do this one and this one and this one, verses 1, 2, and 4. And what I love about our church is these songs, this worship ministry, is much more than just songs. And more importantly, without ministry team leaders, coffee does not get served. And that's important. Well, anyone can do that. And Paul would say to you, nuh-uh. And not only nuh-uh, he would also say that, and I've learned this the hard way over time, because I used to believe that deacons were only men. And that is not what biblical scholars tell us today. And we may disagree with that, and if you disagree with that, please tell me first. But surprising or not, ladies, here you go. Here's an opportunity for you to use your gifts, called by the Spirit, to influence how people love God and love their neighbor as themselves. Not everyone can be a deacon. So let's see what it takes. Open up your Bibles. You're not sure. Open up your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 3. That is toward the back of your Bible. Take time to find it or tap that app. I love Bible apps. All right, we're going to begin in verse 8 of chapter 3. One of the things that Paul wants us to know is that deacons, in a lot of ways, are very similar to elders, but different responsibilities. Okay? So he goes on this discussion about elders, and then he says in verse 8, in the same way, deacons. And here's where it becomes challenging, because we know from modern study and decades of study that this word deacon can also be translated deaconess. Woo! Somebody's mad. Are to be worthy of respect, sincere. Here it is again. Not indulging in much wine. Why do I have the feeling that the Ephesian church was just a bunch of drunks? Not indulging in much wine. And not pursuing dishonest gain. By the way, I used to be one of those guys as a social work student back in the 80s that if you were rich and you claimed to be a Christian, I said those two things cannot go together, and that's not true. It's not true. I was wrong in that. Please notice, not pursuing dishonest gain. Can I tell you that I think culturally, and even in the church, we're about to face some things that we're not ready for. When professional sports leagues in our nation, and I watch them all the time, obviously, Adam Silver's listening to me. The NBA wants professional gambling. They want you to be able to bet on games. And for some of us, it is so tempting to gamble. Because we can, it feels like we can get rich quick. And Scripture always talks about the danger of getting rich quick and whether we can handle it or not. And guys, I'm telling you, it's going to be very tempting for some of us to get some dishonest gain. Because if you think professional gambling is clean, right? It can be a challenge, and it's just a unique area that we're in, and deacons need to be careful of that, this reputation. Verse 9, they must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. What the world does that mean? Verse 10, they must be tested first. Not test. And then if there's nothing against them, then let them serve as deacons. All right, look at verse 8. Very similar to elders. Character counts, doesn't it? Character counts. It has been an interesting week for me in that I let a friend down. A friend of mine who is in ministry that I have known back in the 80s. I used to teach him 5:30 in the morning. I used to teach a Bible study at 5:30 in the morning on Thursday mornings with a group of freshman boys that I was going to college with, and he was one of them, and he's back in town, and he asked me to be a part of something that I said yes to, and then I texted him the night before and said, yeah, I'm not coming. I'm not saying it was brilliant timing on my part, but I shouldn't have told him yes in the first place. But I kind of felt obligated because he wanted to do something for me and all this other stuff, and it had to do with Willow Creek's Global Leadership Conference that was just, it's televised, it's incredibly popular. And last Sunday, when I was preaching about elders and respect and character is so important, the lead pastor of this church, who had taken over for the pastor that had been there for 40 years, resigned. And then Wednesday night, the night before this conference, the interim pastor that took over for the pastor that resigned on Sunday resigned, and the entire group of elders resigned at this massive church in Chicago. And for 40 years, this man whom I respected and have some of his books and saw him speak and everything else, they will talk about sexual purity and all this other stuff. It has come out now that like 6 to 8 women he had violated over 40 years. And when somebody brought it up back in April, when this one gal who's now in her 60s finally stood up and told her story, the then pastor at the time denounced her, the elder board slammed her, wrote a letter about it, all this, defamed her character, and she was telling the truth about what this pastor had done to her privately. No wonder people that have been abused don't want to tell their stories. And she even said, I didn't want to hurt the church. That's why I didn't want to say anything. Oh my gosh. Because when I first heard it, I went, there's no way. Not him. Him. And I wanted to come and tell you that story this morning. And when I thought about telling you that story this morning, I thought I was going to make the statement, I'm just like him. That is not what I mean. That is not what I mean at all. For those of you who know me well and have known me over time, there is a reason I refuse to meet with any female alone that is not a family member, that is not my spouse. I won't even take a car ride with you ladies alone, even if we're going from here down the street. I just won't do it. I can't put myself or you in that situation. And it becomes awkward at times because it sounds weird. What I mean by that is, he's a sinful man, and so am I. It's not about being perfect. It's not this checklist that every single day, I'm going to be perfect, I'm going to be perfect, I'm going to be perfect, I'm going to be perfect. It's recognizing that there are things that we can give into temptation-wise that we just can't do that. And that if we do, simply confessing it and repenting it, and then dealing with the consequences of that. Why do we just make allowances for, well, we're all sinful? No. That's why he adds verse 9, I think. These deep truths of faith that lead to clear conscience, there are things that we know biblically as believers, we can't behave that way. Or we can't behave that way anymore. And for some reason, we tend to hide that instead of celebrating the fact that we were once sinners and now we are saved. Where we have a story that we can tell, yes, I used to be tempted by this, but now through the self-controlling power of the Holy Spirit, I'm wrestling with it and I'm doing better, but I'm continuing to grow. Verse 9 is all about your relationship with Christ growing, and that you don't make the same dumb choices that you used to. That's growth. If I have a man or woman who has done that, I'm going to go, I think I've got the opportunity of a lifetime for you. But see, that's what verse 10 is all about. You've got to be tested. It's just not, hey, can you breathe through your mouth? Good, we want you in the nursery. Because that's what a lot of churches do. That's not a ministry. We pay attention. We test. We see what your gifts are. What is your calling? Doesn't mean that you're just simply talented, because it keeps your conscience clear. Is there anything that would keep them from serving? And I have to ask myself that all the time. And so here we go, verse 11. Sisters, ladies, you can be ministry team leaders, deaconesses, sisters. Verse 11, in the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect. He's calling you out, ladies, if you want to be a ministry team leader. Now listen to this. Not malicious talkers. Water cooler. Temperate and trustworthy in everything. For some reason, Paul decides he's going to separate the females here and go, now ladies, here's a unique challenge for you, because he's about to go back to the guys. For some reason, a unique challenge for female leaders is to check your mouth, check your temper, check your trust. Now that's true for me as well, right? But for some reason, very specifically, Paul said, ladies, you got to check your mouth, check your temper, and check your trust. And that's important for female leaders, because we're called to serve. Verse 12, a deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and household well. Isn't that what he said about the elders as well? Can I tell you something that is very important about deacons or ministry team leaders? I will often refer to the nuts and bolts ministries of our church. Does that make sense? Nuts and bolts ministries. Greg, making sure that the grass is mowed. You know how important that is? Have you seen the houses that surround us in their yards? And when I'm driving in and I'm looking at these incredible houses and their manicured lawns, and then Greg and I have talked about this before, and then I run into the dandelion fields of Jennings Road. I don't care. Dandelions, I grew up with those. I ate them. You know that? Love it. But do you know how important it is for our yard to look nice because of the neighborhood that we're in? That's nuts and bolts ministry. There's a reason they don't let me on the lawnmower. Do you know how fast that thing goes? That would be awesome. This thing needs one of those straps like in an airplane that comes across a fighter jet and it clicks in and zoom. They won't let me on it. There's a reason. They don't let me on it. I've told you the story before of our previous new lawnmower that they told me to stay off of. But I came out one day and no one was here. And I fired that baby up and I brought it over here to the side. And I thought, I'm going to mow the grass. I'm going to show them. And I dropped that blade and dirt started flying out the side. I thought, oh no, that's bad. So I finally got it adjusted. I was going, took a break. Came in here, got some water, went out to mow the side yard, and I was good, man. I was moving. And at one point, I turned around and went, this thing ain't cutting anything at all. For 15 minutes, I had been riding with the blade up, not even touching the grass. I'm horrible at nuts and bolts ministry. Greg is awesome at that stuff. And so Greg takes care of that for us. It's a ministry for him, these nuts and bolts ministry things. That is his way to serve. That's not my way to serve. I can help out, but that is not mine. We serve. And a deacon must be faithful to his wife and manage his children and household well. Family comes first. Family comes first. Too many pastors, too many elders, too many deacons, way too many committees. It's all about the church, 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 all about the church. And Paul says it's all about family, it's all about family, it's all about family, it's all about family. If you're serving the church in a way that neglects your family, I'm going to come up to you and go, you need to take a break. You got to take a break. It is so easy to put ministry in front of family, thinking that you're accomplishing something great for God. But I'm telling you right now, before God ever called me into professional ministry, and I agree with you, why did he do that? He called me to be a husband and to be a father. And if I fail that woman, if I fail my two kids, my daughter-in-law, my two grandkids, it doesn't matter what I say or what I do as the pastor of this church. If I fail them, I have failed this church. And so that's the expectation here. Your family matters. And so then verse 13, being a deacon is all about serving God. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing. Woo! That dude, that gal, I love what they have done. Love what they have done. Isn't that awesome? My wife, speaking of, will not let me buy the new Keurig machine. Have you seen it? It's in every Walmart. It's displayed right up front. It's only $99, right? It's only $99, but it makes lattes. Woo! It's got its own milk frother and everything else, and every time we see one in a Walmart, I slyly grab the box, I slyly put it in the cart, and she makes me put it back. I, for whatever reason in my life, love coffee, the different flavors and tastes and everything else. Anybody can make a pot of coffee, but not everyone can create a new hospitality ministry and have a focal point out in our lobby that people enjoy and want to see what's out there and see who's there and they feel welcome. And I find myself going, when I see who's involved out there, I go, man, they're doing that and they're doing it well, right? Isn't that fantastic? And bulletins and newsletters and things you never see, bills getting paid. Oh, there's so many things. We can get so lost in being busy or accomplishing goals that we forget that God called us to serve. Serve our families first, and then serve these ministries that people don't think of, but sometimes when we do them well, you don't need to think about it. And there's a reward for deacons who serve well. They gain an excellent standing. Your reputation gets bumped up. It's people that we should be praising and patting on the back and say, I really appreciate what you do for me. But I like this next one. In great assurance in their faith in Jesus Christ. There is something about serving where God goes, there you go. When we serve well, there's something that our faith just continues to grow because we know that it's more than just simply living life. Than simply just doing something. And tell me that's not your week coming up. You want something more than just, here we go again. Here we go again. Here we go again. You want it to be something more. And so when you serve God and others, when you love on God, when you love on others, and you make it easier for others to do that, your faith grows. And that's what we care about here at this church. Not you being involved in you serving, in knowing where your passions and your talents, where you want to spend your time, what you want to do, and we want to help you do it well. Let's be servants this week. Let's stand together and sing our closing song. And maybe you've been thinking, you know what? I want to get involved. There's something I'd like to see here at the church. Talk to me about it. Let's discuss it. But I'm telling you right now, we're going to look at your faith. We're going to look at things like your family and see where those stack up in terms of what your passions are. And if those aren't in alignment, this is a great opportunity for you to say, you know what? Coming down, I'm changing my life. And I'm going to be surrounded by people that have done the same. Let's sing our closing song. I love this song. Thank you.
leadest me, oh blessed thought, oh words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whatever I do, wherever I be, still is God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me. I lift on hands, He leadeth me. His faithful power I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Sometimes it seems a deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom. A water still over troubled sea, still is God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me. By His own hand He leadeth me.
Father, we pray that You would lead us into a growing relationship with You, into a growing relationship with those who are around us. You remind us that we're called to serve, not just show up. God, I pray for the men and women of this church, anyone listening online, that they know they want to do something, but they've been put down so much in life that our insecurities grab a hold of us. And we think, well, I can't serve because of. Allow Your Holy Spirit to shine in them in such a way that it would bring them to an understanding that it's about Your perfection. It's about our struggle. It's about our growth. And I thank You so much that this is a church of servants. Love this place. May we continue to serve You, and as we do, may You be glorified. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I pray.